Hello, everyone, and welcome to Hotline League. Travis Gafford is on the road edition. I am in Seattle, Washington, and we've had some audio issues which have delayed the start of the show. And I apologize because I don't sound as good as I normally do. And for some reason, even though Mark is in his normal place, he also doesn't sound very good. We don't know why, but it was either start the show or don't do the show. And we're doing the show. So apologies for that. Of course, shout out to Alienware for sponsoring the episode, making sure we can export and render and broadcast this on the road in the first place. I'm doing this off an Alienware 17 or X17. And I've got Mark here, my constant co-host. How's it going, Mark?
It's going great. I'm tweeting right now. Yep.
Wow. Really providing a lot here at the beginning of the show. While you try to tweet. Okay, while you tweet and start figure out what you're going to say at the start of the show, I will say, I am on the road. I want to give a big shout out to UBC. I went to UBC's Gaming Expo in Vancouver, Canada, the university there, and had a really great time being on a panel next to Vinny the Hacker, who I was unaware of before, but is a very handsome dude who there was a lot of people there who just were fangirling and fanboying after him. That was interesting. And I think he and I are just as completely different content creators as could possibly be. But he was a nice person. I was on a panel with him and a couple Overwatch guys. And then I came down to Seattle and I went and played Magic at the Card Kingdom Store Mox Boarding House in Seattle, which was sick. And I want to give a shout out to Jared and Cedar, who were two Hotline viewers who showed up to draft with us and a bunch of other cool people that I know up here or met. So we did a draft. That was really fun, even though I did poorly. And had a really good time at Mox Boarding House. I did not reach out to them or tell them I was coming, and they did not know or care who I was. But I still had a great conversation with Sam, who was the manager there. They were great. But yeah, it's been a good time. I'm still up here. I'm coming back on Thursday, so I'm going to miss the first day of Super Week. But Mark Zimmerman, how you been?
Hello. I'm okay. It's been a tough week for me. I guess.
Really? Yeah, I reached out to you earlier and asked if you were going to do a blame game, and you're like, oh, I forgot I do that show.
That's not what I said. I said that I'm pretty boned this week. Two things happened. First, my internet died. Whoever transferred me from my old apartment to this new one, like, did some really troll stuff. And anytime I have a problem and I had to call for some help, every single time, whoever picked up on customer service would be like, whoa, your account is weird. What happened here? I guess finally it broke. And so I had to just like make a new Spectrum account basically and sign up for that. And that meant that like I had to get new equipment delivered and all that stupid shit. So I had to wait, and I lost internet on like Tuesday night. And then like, you know, they want to deliver it and someone needs to be there to sign for it. So I couldn't get it delivered because I was working on Wednesday and Thursday. And so, yeah, I was out of internet until like Friday night. During that time, let's just say I had some stuff I was supposed to be doing. So then that got pushed back. And then this week is a super week. And I forgot that. So I scheduled a bunch of errands I needed to do. Like I have to get a follow up of the biopsy on my back. Is it like, it's not melanoma, but they just want to like, yeah, you look kind of bad. We're going to just get some more shit off you. And then I'm supposed to pick up the ring because we return that because we're getting it custom made. And just like a bunch of shit I was going to do on Wednesday, suddenly I can't do. So then like this morning I had to try and reschedule everything on top of the fact that I have my usual Riot stuff, on top of the fact that like this means that all the content I'm making for Riot needs to be moved up a day. So like the next episode of Catching Up with Double If, I still haven't even got my notes in for it, which is like I'm supposed to have those already. And I was just like, this is cursed.
And you lost an hour. In a week where you had very little, you even lost an hour.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. So anyways, let's just say I've had a lot of things that I'm like, God damn it. So no blame game this week.
Well, I'm sorry you're going through that. One thing I do want to point out, because somebody in the chat said, like, wait, did Hotline League start earlier? Did we change the time? Daylight savings time happened in the U.S. So if you do not live in North America or in the U.S. and probably Canada, I guess Canada observes it too. I don't know. Whatever. Then the time has changed here, and that's why everything is different.
Well, way to out yourself as a fake fan of America. Everyone should know our daylight savings time schedule since we are the cultural center of the world.
Anyway, Mark, is this situation that you're dealing with the biopsy and all that stuff, didn't you tell me that you went and got, I think you said on an episode of Hotline League, you were getting your first physical in like a decade.
That was unrelated. Okay. Well, it was related, but it was.
Like, I assume you went to see the doctor for your physical and they're like, what's this on your back?
No. So I know I have terrible skin and I should be seeing a dermatologist once a year. I just chose not to for about a decade and a half. And then with how Kaiser Permanente works, I need to get a referral. I can't just go to a dermatologist. So I had to go get a physical first. And that was the first physical I also had in about a decade. So, you know, they're kind of related, but not really.
Great. Well, this is your sign, everybody. Go to the doctors. Because
no, this is your sign that you're fine. Because
no,
I'm fine.
Don't do that, Mark. We got people married. We can also save some sort of life on this show. Go get a physical. Make sure you're fine. You don't need to have something removed or added to your body.
I had some pretty sus ones on there, and the doctor, the dermatologist, was definitely like, "Yeah, you should be coming a lot more often." And I was like, "Yeah." And he's like, "You're lucky these weren't worse." Or like that they weren't melanoma. I was like, yeah.
I need you alive.
So weird enough that they want more.
Because I need a co-host for the show. So if you die.
Well, it's not going to be like that sudden either way. You know, you'll find a replacement.
I don't want to do the show with anybody else.
Aww. Hey, stop biting my shit.
Who else will be screaming at their cat in the middle of our conversations?
I know, right?
Who brings that level of professionalism where their camera's tilted and they're just screaming at their cat off screen?
It's an artistic choice. This is why the people come here to watch.
Yeah, we have less people showing up this time, so I wonder if that artistic choice is panning out.
I blame the delay and the time difference.
All right, well, anyway, we're going to have a bit of a shorter episode this week just because of audio issues and also starting late and all of the above. But what's been going on, Mark? I missed Friday, so take me through Friday. I know 100 Thieves is suddenly recovering. They got rid of their coach, and suddenly everything's good. They're a top team again.
Yep. So Friday wasn't the interesting day. I think Thursday was, and you saw that one.
Yeah,
Thursday was like the TL upset. Yeah, 100 Thieves beats Golden Guardians. So with CLG,
game with the million pauses. Thursday was not interesting because of the amount of pauses during that day. I had to leave.
That was also the pause day.
After like the fourth game or whatever, because there was just so many pauses. It was brutal.
Yeah, no, I forgot about all the pauses. So that part of the day sucked, but it was where there was a lot of really interesting things going on. So that was really cool. I think the not so cool part is that this makes it a really difficult playoff. I guess it is cool for people who like watching League of Legends. There's a really nice playoff race going on now because CLG also dropped a random game to Dig for no reason. So the problem is that I can't make, it's like hard to make content for teams when you're like, are you going to make the playoffs or not, bro? So like 100 Thieves looks like they might make it in, you know?
Mark, stop trying to adjust the camera to show the cat. Every time you do it, breaks the camera.
Look,
it's broken the camera like 3 times already.
It's fine.
Ugh. Ugh. The show is off the rails already. We've got
just
audio.
It's a podcast. It's a podcast. The visuals don't matter. Just keep talking.
Yeah, the audio is already bad. So this is.
Oh, that's
the
true too.
One.
Oh, shit.
Ugh. Okay, so there's that. What are the? I feel like other than that, it's a pretty quiet week. For the previous week, but looking forward to the next week, it's going to be, it's actually, there's a lot to talk about. But I don't know. Is there anything from this week that I am forgetting? Twitch chat, let us know.
I don't remember if there's a big drama thing. I feel like a lot of the drama was in the game, like
Ghostcrawler left. Oh,
I guess that's true. ARAM got turret rubble reverted.
Oh, really? After your tweet?
Still an abomination. It was apparently on the way out anyways.
You changed
LCS
it.
LCS Eevee tweeted that there's an official investigation that an official investigation has been launched against Evil Geniuses. I don't know if you saw that on Reddit 5 days ago.
Yes. That's a thing. If you missed last week's episode, I'm recusing myself from the conversation based off of my previous relationship. Sometimes, for some reason, people did not understand that that is like the correct thing to do. They think that that's the they think that despite a conflict of interest, the ethical thing is to ignore the conflict of interest and just cover it anyway. Let's see. Who? I think that's it. But here's what's interesting.
Okay.
Normally, we do our show after the LCS, or we do it whenever we can still vote for MVP and all pro and all that stuff, because normally LCS was on Sunday, and on Monday we would do the show, and then the voting would end on Wednesday. And so I already said that like that show was a show in which people could call in and make the case for somebody to get MVP or all pro or rookie or whatever. I don't think they do rookie for spring anymore, whatever. Anyway, but because of the schedule change, I don't know if you saw this, Mark, probably not, but our votes are now due on Sunday.
Only because someone in a meeting told me this. I didn't get the email yet.
Yeah.
I think they sent it to the wrong email address. But yeah, I actually have been pulling a couple like MVP topics and first team all pro topics and stuff like that.
Cool.
So,
this is the episode where I think we'll talk a lot about that. And then also we'll have discussions about where teams are going to finish, who's going to make it in, where things are going to go. Is FlyQuest on the fall? Like, actually, I think that that is an interesting conversation where for a while I feel like C9's been on the upswing and FlyQuest has been looking a little bit more shaky. And finally, I think we're at the point where there's a conversation to be had about which of those teams is better. Even so, I think there's a lot to talk about this episode, even if the past week has not had any big topics, if that makes sense.
Yep.
So, yeah. Either way, that's the episode. We're gonna get into it.
Mark, okay. Should I pull someone?
I guess it's 7:30. We should start getting into calls.
Yeah. If you're in the waiting room, please undeafen yourself. There's a guy called Manimal in there right now who is deafened. I can't talk to you if you're deafened. Anyways, I'll be back.
Shout out to some folks who subbed. Thank you to everybody who subbed, starting with Postman, who was one of the folks at Mox this past weekend playing Magic with us. Sian Teal, Antwater, your Uwu Rusty Nerd. Sovereign, Walker is Duder for 1 year, Simon Please, Ian7J2, and Treethan. And it looks like Mark is he back? He is back with Omar. Omar is here. Omar, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Toronto, Ontario.
Toronto, Ontario. And when Mark talks on Discord to you, does it sound scuffed?
No, it sounds worse on Twitch.
So,
confirmation then, not on my end.
Yeah, we're not crazy. Okay. I guess it's technically on my end, but it's weird because I can't hear. Anyway, Omar, what do you want to talk about on the show?
I want to talk about how FlyQuest is not going to make it to the finals this year, or the split, I guess.
Ooh, okay. Go ahead and elaborate.
So, I think they had a great start to the split, but they're kind of losing games. They don't look like they're on the same page. Yeah, I don't know. I think they're I think they're just going to get knocked out by one of the teams that are in the race for playoffs. Like 100 Thieves is looking good now. TSM is pretty close. Yeah, FlyQuest is out.
FlyQuest is out. Okay. Who do you think are the finals?
Ooh.
I mean, if you're not predicting FlyQuest, it has to be C9 and EG, right?
Yeah. Probably C9 EG. I mean, maybe, you know, maybe GG or something can make a crazy run, but yeah, it's probably C9 EG.
C9 EG. Okay. Mark, I guess this is where we can have our FlyQuest conversation. How worried should FlyQuest fans be?
Relatively worried. I feel like they are going to be a threat no matter what. Like, I don't think that they are not a team to be feared or anything like that. But I do think that they have been struggling enough that C9 feels like the clear best team in the league right now with the momentum that they've had and how dominant they've looked in their wins. I think EG, despite the bad weekend they had, JoJo was sick. Sven on broadcast mentioned they had COVID, so I'm sure that's something that was pretty common knowledge. By teams and players and stuff, and then like the whole team didn't play in the studio on Friday, so like I don't know exactly what's going on there, but clearly they've been an up and down team regardless of any of that stuff. So, but everyone knows how good they are, and everyone in scrims giving them a lot of scrim bucks. So I don't know. I feel like FlyQuest fans should be worried that they are no longer like the clear best team like they were through the first round robin. But I think they're still in that, like, I feel like there's a tier of those three teams. Golden Guardians is like their own B tier if they're all A tier. And then like C tier is a couple of these playoff bubble teams. Like 100 Thieves, TSM, CLG, whatnot. So they're still like contenders. I don't think there's no way that they're making the finals. They might not, but I don't think there's no way.
I want to give a shout out to the people who are hosting me. My friends just carried a golden retriever across the living room because they were so worried about the noise that walking through the living room with a dog would make. Anyway.
Did you tell them that your audio is shit right now anyways?
Yeah, the audio is shit right now anyway, so it doesn't matter. So is this also when we should have the Ayla Winsome conversation? Or do we have another call for that, Mark?
No, we can have it here.
Okay. So
you're an Ayla hater. I can smell it.
No, I'm not an Ayla hater, but it is fascinating to me, like the fact that people were like they should keep playing with Winsome, and then Ayla shows up, and yeah, things have gone messier. But I don't know if, like, I just feel like the rest. I kind of have the theory that like the rest of the teams got better. And FlyQuest has not really gotten better over the course of the split, less than it's like the Ayla thing. But it is a little spicy, especially with like all the Vulcan drama. So
I think that there's a chance that maybe they could put Winsome back.
I think there's a chance, but like I don't know. Like that's the really intriguing thing is like it would be pretty wild if they do for like the final weekend. I mean, they're fine in one sense, right? Like, I don't know, the most that could happen, I get. How far, they're two games ahead of...
Guardians could... I don't think Golden Guardians can catch them. They're three games ahead already. They have 12
EG
wins, Golden
could
Guardians
catch
has 9.
Them, right? If FlyQuest dropped all three of their games and EG won all three...
I mean, EG can catch them, but it's just swapping second and third then. So like, if you were second place, you're going to get EG anyways. Now you just lose side select. It's like not the end of the world.
I thought this first still doesn't get to pick who they play.
I don't think so. I think first gets fourth no matter what.
Okay.
But I'm not quite sure.
Okay. Yeah, it looks like Chad.
MZ Leo
Chad
the Chosen
saying,
in chat.
Yes. They're saying that first phase is fourth, second phase is third. Okay. Okay, then I guess it doesn't really matter. I guess they could get... Okay, who has the head-to-head right now between Fly and C9?
I think it's 1-1.
Okay. So we could get a tiebreaker.
Yeah, we could.
That would be hype. Anyway, okay, so back to
it's 1-0. Excuse me. It's 1-0. They're playing this weekend. I forgot. Yeah. That's the most hype match of the week. First match of the on Wednesday.
Okay. Super week, baby. Let's go.
Okay. So back to the would they put in win something? Mark, do you think there's any chance they put in win some?
I think there's a non-zero chance they put in win some. I think it's highly dependent on the players themselves and how they're feeling, or at least like that's how I would do it if I was the coaching staff. Though I think sometimes, you know, it's like there's sometimes promises that you make in the offseason when you join. You're like, oh yeah, you have the starting spot 100% no matter what. And you have to weigh those against like what the players are currently saying. There's sometimes more to it than just that. But assuming that the players are happy with Ayla, I think they'll stick with him. And if they all really want Winsome, they'll go back to him. I think one thing that we talked about this from out in the dive today too, but like one thing that happened earlier on the season is a bunch of teams that like FlyQuest wasn't that great in scrims and they were beating them quite a bit. It feels like something we've heard a fair amount through different sources is like that FlyQuest in scrims is not the same team that they are on stage. And so I think there's a chance that like the team themselves have more data about the struggles that they have. And like they were having those with Winsome as well. And so like, while you might be dropping a couple more games on stage, it sounds like the team did have some weaknesses before. And just because we didn't see them in the stage games didn't mean that they weren't there. And so there's a chance that the team doesn't feel like the Ayla swap is the like cause of the new losses as much as these other problems that they always had finally rearing their heads or something. So I think, you know, that's another angle that could be something. Otherwise, I think, you know, I think Winston might get a shot if they don't feel that way. If it's just like, wow, Ayla joined and now we're losing games and people feel like Winsome's better. I feel like he'd come back for playoffs.
Is Winsome even doing good? And I don't watch Salt League, so I don't know.
I mean, me neither. I think FlyQuest on the Academy scene is fucking terrible. I think FlyFam is like, isn't FlyFam awful? Someone's saying that he's doing well. I don't know, but I thought FlyFam was god awful.
If people say he's doing really well, but that the team is not.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that he's a support player, so if he joined, yeah, they're fucking 5-25. Oh, no, that's FlyFam. That's not FlyQuest Challengers. Excuse me, he's on FlyQuest Challengers, isn't he? God, it's so hard to keep track of everything these days.
Yeah, that's why I don't.
Yeah. So FlyQuest Challengers is doing slightly better. Okay.
So I guess I would ask you, Mark, when you watch one, is FlyQuest not good? And two, if they are not good right now, why? Because you're not doing a blame game this week, but they would be a good target for one.
Yeah, I think so. I think that they are. I think there's a couple things. One, they sometimes have pretty slow early games. And they would just like, oh, Prince is at two items and we win the game now, kind of vibe in the first round robin. I think there were a lot of teams who were not playing that well at the beginning of that first round robin, like a Golden Guardians, like C9. I don't think C9 was playing bad, but they still had Diplex then. And their first time that they played FlyQuest was also that day where they had to go home for the studios, you know? So like, it was a weird day. EG's been up and down. So like, I think that the league has kind of leveled up potentially a little bit around FlyQuest, who always had these problems anyways. And like some of it is just like variance. So they probably won some more games. Yeah. So like they were 8-1. They realistically probably weren't a fully 8-1 team. Other teams have gotten better around them with MNS joining, and like EG can win any game if they just play well that day. And that they've always been like a little slow in the early game, maybe. And like, Vicklis had some up and down games. He was more up at the beginning of the split, more down now. You know, like, I think we probably overreacted to their first good round robin. And to be fair, I was one of the people who was naysaying that first round robin a little bit. I, of course, was doing a little bit of like, will they go undefeated just to build hype for the fun of it? But then, like, when people called in on the dive and they were like, is this the best import class ever? Prince has done well for 9 games. I was like, shut the fuck up. You know, like Piglet crushed during his first games too. Like, it really doesn't matter. Piglet had a better year, like a decent first year, you know, like got third twice. All right, let's see what happens with FlyQuest. They might just get third twice. And then you're going to like be like, oh my God, insane. So like, I think people have really overreacted to how good they were doing at the beginning.
I don't know if people, I mean, they look really good in the beginning. So I wouldn't say it's like, I do think the, is this the best import class ever thing was maybe a little overhyped, but I mean, they were really good, Mark, right out the gate for a team that had like come out of nowhere. Right.
No, they were good. Don't get me wrong. But like, I think it's fine to entertain the idea of like, how good are they really? Can they get undefeated? That's all fun. But when people start saying that other stuff, I'm like, you're crazy. Also, yeah, like Immortals had multiple 17-1 and 16-2 seasons, you know, like I think sometimes people just don't remember the history. And then they're just like, hey, this is good right now. Is this the best ever? And it's like, no, not even fucking close.
I just think that like, I agree with you because in some extent, where even the FlyQuest players, when I ask them, like, because people would be like, oh, they might be the best Western team or whatever. And like, when I talk to them, they're like, oh, you know, like they were obviously losing a ton of scrims and stuff. And they're like trying to be like, well, maybe that's, we're not that. So I get it. I do think that they were pretty explosive. I'm super curious. Okay, back to the caller's point, though, which is, are they going to make finals? I'm going to make a bold prediction here.
Oh, shit. Travis feeling himself tonight.
Even though I really like the team and I think they are really good, I think Cloud9 doesn't make finals. And I think FlyQuest EG are the finals.
No way.
You need to stop watching the Oscars with all your camera movements. I think what will happen is that Impact will turn it on. You will have FlyQuest just like figure their shit out. They'll get really good. And then JoJo's going to come out of COVID recovery and do really well because he does better in best of series than he does in best of ones. And these two teams will meet up in the finals.
C9's a regular season team. It's true. I mean, we have C9 takes, so I won't go too far down C9's rabbit hole, but I like C9. I'll say that.
I do too, which is why it's too bad that they're not going to make finals, man.
I meant gameplay-wise, you donut.
Oh, no, I'm saying that too. Anyway. Omar, thank you so much for the call. Anything you want to shout out?
Shouts out Alienware and A Week in League on YouTube. Check it out. Thanks for having me. Later,
guys. Have a good one. All right. Mark, you want to grab the next caller? Off he goes. Shout out to Flick Nickum, Ultimate Rush, ACGC, Immortal Scrub, Blue Jay, Zom Tachu Ticha, Freebird is the word. Steve YZ, XZR Reaper, Knight of Rohan, Robert Bruce, Tom Shu, Donut, Freebird gifted a sub, Gengarifith, and Swede Be Good, Tushiro, Fizzlist, MyPS, Akarin Liberated, Generalt, Little Indian Man, and Hardstuck. Thank you all for your subs. Really appreciate the subs, folks. It's very much appreciated. I think we will probably have to go a little bit more community funded this year. Anyway, Cypher to Jake is here. Cypher, where are you calling from?
Omaha.
Omaha. I don't think we've had, I can't frankly think of the last time we had an Omaha or Nebraska caller. Anyway, what do you want to talk about on the show?
So I think Fudge is by far the strongest candidate for MVP. I think his stats and his, you know, eye test performances hold up to that standard, especially when you consider MVP as most valuable player and not just like, I don't know, all around best performer according to their team.
I really have liked Fudge's performance this year. It's good to see him back in the top lane. Obviously, we saw him last year in that way, but I feel like he's been doing a lot of work. And Mark Zimmerman, what do you think?
It's interesting. I had him as one of my potentials since we were getting down to it. I even asked Sven to be like, who should I give it to? You know, trying to pump him for answers. He mentioned Blabber. God, I just feel like junglers have been so not super impactful this year. Like, Blabber has been very good.
Is that because of the meta? Like, does Blabber deserve it because he's doing well in a non-jungle impactful meta?
Well, when we had Sven on the dive, we kind of asked, he was talking about how, like, oh, in certain metas, like, some roles just naturally look better, like AD carry. And I was, I'm pretty sympathetic to that. And then we asked him, you know, like, does that mean that, you know, is that a problem that those people win MVPs? He's like, no, it's just like how the game is, you know? So, like, if you're playing the most important role in that meta and you're the best player in that role and you're on, like, one of the best teams, and, like, clearly you kind of deserve it, even though it is something that is somewhat time capsuled. By having to remember what the meta was like then. I think of like Arrow's MVP campaign when it was like Jhin, Ashe, Varus meta, and he was just like insane at that shit. So like I kind of feel that way, and like it's just not counter jungling was pretty useless. They just recently buffed junglers to like give them more gold and allow counter jungling to be more of a thing again. So like jungle felt pretty underpowered. It was just like you chain ganked and like try to get people fired, or you just played a tank and you play for team fighting. So like, I don't know. It just felt hard to be impressive as a jungler and like feel like you were the reason that the game was like totally in their favor, unless like you were again feeding the rest of your team a ton of kills, like which River did and Blabber kind of did, but Blabber's it's not like 100% his place. Anyways, point is to say, C9 is a very well balanced team. It's hard to pick out one member, unlike you know FlyQuest where it feels pretty easy to pick out Prince. Or if you wanted the second one, it's probably Spica. You know, I as good as Blabber has been, it's like, well, MNS is like, feels like the reason that they've suddenly like taken off to the next level. And like Blabber and Fudge were some of the reasons that they were so good before that. You know, I just have a hard time with Blabber. Fudge is someone who I was leaning towards, but it does. He also has felt a little bit more quiet as like the top lane meta has gone slowly more to tanks with like the Sions and Chos and stuff like that taking over. I don't know. It's just, it's a hard one.
Do you think that, or is this, are we going to have another call about other MVP candidates?
No, I think this is the MVP call if you have other thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you feel like because they've sort of started to fall off that like there's no argument to be made for Golden Guardians players. But I know a couple episodes we were talking about Gory and River. And I've always been disappointed that it's just sort of like pick a player who's on the top team and give them MVP. And you and I have gone back and forth on this stuff in the past. But given how much Golden Guardians has overperformed this split, do you think there's still no case to be made for River or Gory?
I don't think so. Gory's like a little bit more than River. I mean, their last couple of weeks have hurt the case a little bit. Maybe if they have an insane final week and they beat, I think they have a decent schedule. They can beat CLG, FlyQuest, and Dig. I guess if they beat CLG and Fly in like, you know, River Hella pops off, you can like maybe start putting them in the conversation. But I feel like their last 2 weeks kind of grounded them back down to earth. Around week 5 was like the height of the Golden Guardians hype machine. They beat C9, they beat EG, the number 2, number 3 team in the league. It's like, oh, fuck, these guys are legit. They lose to Team Liquid. They struggle super hard versus Immortals, grab that win, get blown out by 100 Thieves, and then they just kind of clapped up TSM. So 2-2 over that stretch, but not a super convincing one. So like personally, I feel like this was a bit of a comeback down to reality. And like, you know, Sven is like the as he likes to call himself, the Golden Guardians hater.
Yeah.
And like, I'm not a full-blown hater, but I'm not convinced that they have the best player in the league or anything like that on their team.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually think it's going to be if we'll see how this weekend goes, but I feel like it's going to be really hard for somebody other than Prince to get it. Unless FlyQuest has a big collapse for kind of the reasons that you pointed out, which is there's just not, you can kind of hem and haw about a lot of other players. But he's been so explosive and AD carry so impactful that I feel like a lot of people are just going to default to him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you because the other team who's tied with them in the standings is C9. Like we said, they're extremely well balanced. And it's hard to feel like any single one of them is the reason that things are going well. You know?
Yeah.
Whereas like Prince is kind of a clear standout on his own team.
Twitch chat's kind of pushing against us right now, saying that he's had a lot of issues in the second half. Do you think that's true?
I mean, he had a bad week this week. I think this was the Lucian game week, right? Against Team Liquid, where he just kind of got fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that was not a good game. But I would say, like, a lot of players have bad games. It sucks that it's coming right around the time when people are trying to push for them. But I don't know if that game was, like, substantially worse than the other players who had bad games. Like River had an awful game or two during that stretch where he was struggling. I don't remember if Blabber's had an int game. I'm sure if I went back, there were one or two. It feels like Blabber always has a game where kicks in.
One of those weird things where it's like if this had happened in like week three or like the last super week for one random game, would people even be talking about it?
No, of course not. It's just because it's there right now. I mean, leads the league in kills by 11. Doesn't have like a ton of deaths. Pretty reasonable. Near the bottom in deaths. Like, I don't know. Even with that bad game, it's not like he fucking into this face off.
And he's had two different supports too, which I think is interesting.
That's the point.
Yeah.
Like even if you want to play the most valuable game, kind of like conversation, you know, it's like, over the course of this split, has anyone been more consistently good in their team fighting other than maybe Berserker? And like, would FlyQuest have won as many games without Prince playing Lucian and just like beating the shit out of people in some of those games? Like, I don't know.
I think Fudge has been pretty consistent.
I think Fudge has been extremely consistent, especially at the top laners. I think like Impact has kind of had an up and down sometimes. Same with Someday. Pretty much anyone in the top lane except Fudge.
But even Sven doesn't think Fudge should get MVP. Cypherl?
I know. I was a little disappointed when I was watching that. And I really thought, I don't know if I thought he would mention Fudge, but I don't know. I will say a standout game to me is the C9 versus CLG, where I think Fudge kind of solo won that game for his team, where he zoned contracts off of his red buff as Fiora. I think that was pretty good. I think also the way his playstyle has kind of developed over the season, being more team orientated, has kind of been in part due to his playing of Sion, where he's able to ult from very far away. So he's a lot more mobile and able to help in team fights, but I think that's still, you know, like a pretty useful thing that he's able to pilot that champion well. Not only that, he's also played, I think, the most champions out of all other top laners, aside from, like, I think Tenacity has won more than him or something like that.
I mean, I'm with you. I think the problem for a lot of people is, like, he's played three of his last five games are Sion. They've won them all, but it's like, you know, you're kind of playing Sion. Another game was Cho'Gath. His Cho'Gath was like good. He missed a fair. Like, they had that review afterwards where he was talking about his missed cues and stuff. But like, you know, he played the game well. But like, it's just
the. I think the Cho game was probably his worst of the split. If I remember correctly, it wasn't like awful, but it was like not great.
Yeah, there was a game he got rolled against FlyQuest pretty bad where he was on Fiora. That was a pretty rough one. I think he had an okay lane phase and then kind of just got blown open. So he's good, but like, it's just, it's hard to think.
I see where you're coming from. The other point that I was actually going to make on that is that in their three losses, Fudge has not, he's either been even or ahead of his lane opponent, which I think is a pretty valuable thing to have. So, and I don't think he's, in any of his wins aside from the Cho game, he's really necessarily been, you know, kind of meh. He's always been good at the very least. And, you know, in some games like the Fiora game that I mentioned, I think he's been way high up there. But yeah, in all their losses, He's not the reason they're losing.
I do want to move on because we've been on this for a little bit, but here's the ending little mini conversation we can have here at the end. Mark, is Fudge a shoe-in for first All-Pro?
Yes, absolutely. I think he's without question the best top laner in the LCS. I think it's a question of is that enough to be an MVP in the current meta and like with how the season's gone.
All right. There you go, Cypher. At the very least you got that.
Thank you.
Anything you want to shout out before we say goodbye?
I'll shout out you guys have been a longtime viewer of the YouTube video uploads. In Hotline League and Travis Gafford videos in general. And I'd also like to shout out the LCS broadcast for branching out and doing new stuff this year, whether it's PewDiePie or Mark's segments. Anything really that you guys have done has been pretty cool. So it's nice to see some innovation in the broadcast.
Very good. Thank you so much for the call, and we'll catch you next time.
Cool. Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a quick break right now to talk about Alienware. I would not be able to do this show on the road if it wasn't for my X17 notebook that I'm using right now to broadcast the show. It's been fantastic to have it with me as I've been going across international country lines back and forth. You know, bringing this powerhouse with me, being able to have it set up. And sort of do the whole show from a kitchen table, which, spoiler, is where I'm at right now. It's been really cool. So I just want to shout out Alienware. They've been wonderful partners that have supported us, provided us hardware, done all this stuff. So I really, really appreciate them coming in to sponsor Hotline League and to provide us with the hardware that we need to make this happen. If you would like to get your own hardware from Alienware and be like TGI, you can go check out Alienware.com/Travis. Ordering through that link directly supports the show, so I really do appreciate when you do use that link to buy something from Alienware. You can go check out their wonderful computers at Alienware.com/Travis. Thank you so much to Alienware for sponsoring the show, and really appreciate all of you for supporting Alienware. All right, Mark is off to grab the next caller. Thank you to some folks who also decided to support via subbing. So we got Steve the Sleeve, Phantom for Days, Lil Bonaparte gifted a sub, Norvek, and then also I'm Chaotix. Thank you all for the subs. Really appreciate it. We got Red Hood here. Red Hood, where are you calling from?
Calling from Brisbane, Australia.
From Australia. We love our international guests. What do you want to talk about on the show?
I'm assuming I'm here for the first team All-Pro conversation. Yes. I had Budge in the top lane, straight up Aussie winner right there. River has been a standout jungler and my MVP this season. Guy's insane, so creative with his ganks, and I don't think there's much more to say about him. Then in mid lane, Gory. I think the Gory River mid jungle is just like it hasn't been seen before. Like these two, they pair so well together. There's not been many mid laners this season who have really had too many standout performances, but Gory and River have just played so well together, and I don't think you could make an argument against Gory. Prince, I think everybody would agree that Prince is pretty amazing this season. I have him as first team All-Pro. And then Vulcan. Vulcan's been the best NA support since he came in 2019.
Ooh, you're one of those Vulcan over Core JJ people.
Look, Vulcan's first season with, who was it? It was... I can't remember who it was now, but he went, what, deathless 6 games or something, the AD carry? Then the very next season, he goes with Sven, who also went, like, deathless for, like, 10 games. Like, every time he gets paired with a new AD carry, the AD carry is just insane. Like, I don't know how anyone can not make an argument for Vulcan as top support. I was hoping actually Ayla would be the best support this season, because, you know, Australians, but
bias.
Yeah, Vulcan's just been too good.
So you want your all pro to be Fudge, River, Gory, Prince, and Vulcan?
Yeah, correct.
Okay. Well, we kind of talked a little bit about the Golden Guardians guys, but Mark, I assume you'd put Speaker before River now, and then who are you pinning in mid, like M&S?
So the Fudge and the bot lane stuff feels pretty locked in. I don't think there's too much arguing around those in any way. But the mid jungle, like you're saying, Travis, is pretty hard to do. I think for my first team is between Spica and Blabber, but like River does have an outside shot at that. For me, the way I do it is that like it's based off like your actual performance in the games. I try not to do like my perception of your skill or anything like that. So like, unfortunately for River, he did have like those first 0-4 games that Golden Guardians had. You know, like it wasn't like he was dog shit in them and like running it down. But I felt like there was a pretty clear improvement that came through once Gory joined and gave him a better mid laner to play through, and they actually had a week or two to practice together. Not just like, obviously he was there in week two, but they were not practiced. And so like that's not to say that River needs Gory or anything like that, but just like there's a clear level up and jump of play that happened after week two. But it's not like you get to pretend the first 2 weeks didn't happen just because you didn't have your full lineup. Like I don't know what to do with those games other than to count them equally, because at the end of the day, it's four more losses that they have as a team, unfortunately.
Okay, so going into this weekend, Golden Guardians play CLG. Golden Guardians play CLG. They play FlyQuest. And they play Dignitas. So if Golden Guardians goes 3-0, which would mean they're beating FlyQuest, beating Spica, how much do you think that increases your chances of getting River All-Pro?
I'd say it's pretty fluid. Like, it also depends what C9 does, because C9 plays FlyQuest as well, and then CLG, so like pretty similar opponents. Like, C9 could absolutely smurf 3-0, and Blabber looks insane, and maybe I do give it to him. It's close. Like, the mid-jungle feels really up in the air. Jungle at least feels solidified in the three jungles it's between.
Yeah.
Like, Inspired is really, really good. Don't get me wrong. I think Inspired's fucking crazy. I feel like the up and down nature of EG has made him harder to evaluate this split. Mid lane is one that's totally fucking open. I have no clue what to do because the person who's been the clear best mid laner through a second round robin also didn't play the first round robin with M&S. And I don't know if I can give it to a guy who only played 9 games based off my own like system of like how I try and vote on this. I gave a nod to Core JJ once. I think it was last spring when he played 11 games and was like pretty clearly really good. I think I gave Vulcan number 1 and Core JJ number 2. And even then some people were like, oh, I can't believe you gave it to him at 11 games played. And M&S only has 9. So it's like even less. It's like half a split. Vikla's been up and down. JoJo's been up and down. Gory's been up and down a little bit. You know, like Maple's been solid, but I don't know if he can break in just being solid. It's fucking hard for mid lane.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think this weekend, I'm gonna be paying close attention to how these top mid laners go, because I kind of feel like there's like a tiebreaker situation going on.
That's a good way to put it, because it's like the teams are playing for records of tiebreakers.
Yeah. You know?
Like for positioning, I feel like the same thing's kind of going on with the players and all pro voting for some of them.
Mark, can I just ask, what do you think Blabber's done to really like be the standout of Cloud9? Because I would say Berserker and Fudge have had more of an impact on the wins, and now M&S has come in, then Blabber has actually stood out, whereas I think River has made more of a impact in the wins that Golden Guardians have had.
So I was kind of talking about this a little bit when, like, with the Sven interview, and you mentioned Blaber, and me personally being like, is Blaber really an MVP? You know, like, is any jungler an MVP? I don't know. I do feel like in the games that they win, River does feel extremely important. And I was leaning, like, personally, like, towards Fudge a little bit for, like, who I would give the most credit to on the team, because it's hard to go Berserker when Prince just feels slightly better this split. And he's the one who's a clear standout over anyone else in his position. But as for Blaber and, like, what he does so well, I think he is insanely, insanely efficient with his time. I know counter jungling is not as important this split, but he still has pretty much the biggest XP leads and gold leads. The only other person is Spica, who's up there with him in terms of individual leads. I think he is really good about advancing his team's win cons. Like, I don't think chain ganking, like, sometimes you can chain gank tank on tank and, like, get some kills and it's, like, great. Who fucking cares? I feel like Blaber's ganks are very good about actually advancing how the team wants to win the games. So that's why I personally think Blaber has been very good. I think he also has, let me check his champ pool real quick. Maybe I'm crazy, but has he played more, like, team fight champions than some others? I guess he has a Rengar game, a Nocturne game, Elise game, Viego, Gragas. Yeah, he felt like he played champions that had good team fighting and did good things. Maybe I'm trolling, but, like, the Rengar game I remember, and the Nocturne game I remember quite well. And I think it also is contrasted with Pioshik's Nocturne game, you know, in my head. Like, that's fair, but, like, yeah, I feel like he's been good. I'm not sold at Blaber at number one in the jungle. I think that one, like I said, is kind of fluid. But I don't know. I feel like Blaber's really good.
How far down on your 80 carry all-pro list is Doublelift, Mark?
Oh, boy. Well, I feel like the top three are an easy lock of Prince, Berserker, Stixxay, probably, in that order. Number four? Probably FBI. And then Doublelift, probably.
The top five, Twitch chat.
Is that what people are asking?
Well, so they're just saying Doublelift isn't top five or whatever.
I mean, he's on that border. I think, like, Yawn's been too inconsistent out of lane phase, though maybe I would have to look to see if he's actually been more dominant, or I'm just remembering his Lucian games. Turtle's been good, but not nearly enough data. Luger's been really inconsistent. Some games he pops off, and other games I'm like, brother. So yeah, I feel like it's Doublelift. But I feel like people are surprised FBI is rated high. FBI's been good. Not, like, insane, but he's been good.
He's also laning with Vulcan, though.
I mean, true, but Doublelift's laning with Busio.
I'd take Vulcan over Busio.
No.
All right. Anyway, thank you so much for the call. It was kind of fun to talk about the different All-Pro stuff, Red Hood, and I do appreciate it. It was a good talking point. Anything you want to shout out before we go on to our next caller?
I'll shout out the Spawn and Papa Smithy car. That was just nostalgia, pure. Like,
oh, yeah, that was cool. Yeah, very Australian. Yeah.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks so much, Red Hood. We'll catch you next time. All right. Mark, you want to go grab the next caller?
Sure.
Shout out to Cool455, who says, shout out Seattle. Hope you like to hear. Yeah, I love Seattle. I come up to Seattle. I used to come up a lot, and just throughout the years, I've been there a lot. So I really like Seattle. Part of the reason I was excited to go to Vancouver was because I figured I could drive down and come to Seattle.
We're back.
Fantastic. It's Manimal. Manimal, you've been in the chat a lot lately. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Indiana.
From where?
Indiana.
Indiana. Okay, and what do you want to talk about on the show?
I want to talk about D940 being wrong. The only thing that matters is winning, because players' content and fandom will do bad if they aren't winning consistently. I've been thinking about this a lot because some of my favorite content creators are on, like, bottom-ranked teams in their streams. don't get the traction they should be getting because they stream consistently, but they're not getting any pull.
Real quick, just in case people are not sure what you're talking about. I mean, it was a pretty popular tweet, but Travis, you know what he's talking about, right?
The Portillo tweet, right?
Yeah, I figure you might want to put it on stream for people who might not easy to do with your setup.
With my current setup, but
I'll just read it then. Yeah. This is Portillo's take. It got 6,000 likes.
And so, who's Portillo, Mark, for people that
he's the C9 brand ambassador manager?
No, he's a senior social media manager, but he's been around for a very, very long time. I've done an interview with him. He's a really known person in the space. So
yeah, especially around things like branding and social media. Yeah. In a lot of ways, he has given C9 their voice over the last decade, basically. So his take is, pro players shouldn't be paid loads of money if they don't put effort on taking care of their image. Playing the game, practicing, and winning are not the only job of a pro player. Pros also have to work on their social numbers, personal brand, and content creation. That was his take.
Okay. Anyways, so you disagree with this caller.
Yes, I disagree because I feel like the pro players that are putting a lot of effort into their branding and consistently streaming, a lot of them tend to be on lower end teams and they don't put up numbers because they're not winning. I could give examples if you want, or you can take the call, like take it as it is.
Okay, but also what about Prince?
Yeah, I think Prince is pulling the numbers, but also he is on a top team, so it's easier for him to like pull numbers. I think there's a lot of lower team players. So like, for example, Blaze Olive or like Revenge stream really consistently, or they were until they were having like mental health problems and they weren't pulling in nearly the amount of numbers, even though they were putting a lot of effort into like having a social media presence and streaming consistently. I think like LCS fans don't care about how much effort you put into like trying to like build your brand. They care only if you're winning. They're only going to bandwagon onto you if you're winning, more or less.
I just, when I look at the Portillo tweet, like, I don't feel like he's saying that pro players couldn't try. Like, I feel like you're kind of creating the false dichotomy here of, hey, you know, pro players either put in the effort or they get good at being a pro player. He's actually just saying like that their effort into their image should be a component of their payment or compensation. So it's a little different, I feel like, than the argument or the conversation that you're trying to have.
I think that's a good call out about like they're not necessarily mutually exclusive. It's not like even to the Prince point, sometimes he streams the game, sometimes he doesn't stream his solo queue practice. It seems like based off his mood and what he's trying to accomplish. And I think it's not like you have to not practice as hard to make content. Like T1 guys famously have a lot of content that they have to do, even though they're clearly a very hardworking team. I think for me as well, having a brand doesn't just mean streaming more. I think even just having an identity of like who you are as a person can help. When you have a microphone in front of your face, being funny and engaging, like I don't think Fudge is particularly I don't know if he streams a lot. I don't know if he does a lot of content on his own, but like whenever he's in content, he's very engaging and he's funny and he's talkative. And I know he's doing well, which I think to the caller's point, I think there's something that you and I have obviously agreed with quite a bit over our career, which is like winning will make people care so much more than anything else you can possibly do. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't do those other things just because you're not winning. And so like Fudge is an entertaining personality. He probably would pull back a little bit if he wasn't on a winning team, because he does, you know, he talks to smack a little bit, but yeah, another person's like Sven. Sven doesn't personally make a ton of content, but he's a very easy person to get to know because of how he talks about things and stuff like that. So like for me, it's like, yeah, you don't need to only stream. It's like about when you have the opportunity that you're in front of fans, you have something about you that a fan is going to like, whether it's your humor, your bluntness, your interests, whatever it is. Evie doing his thumbs up as a brand. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think that I really appreciated the way he phrased it, where it was basically like, hey, you know, the effort that you are putting into this stuff should be reflected in your compensation. Because I think that was one of the things that encouraged pro players in the past to really try to do stuff, to try to stream, to try to do these things, was because they knew that there was like a financial reward for it. And I think a lot of the pro players now don't really feel like they get, there's much of a difference between, you know, doing nothing and putting in the effort to build, to brand build. And that's obviously, I mean, there's a lot of issues that the LCS is facing. And so I don't want to say that that's like the main thing is, oh, we're just not doing that. Obviously, it's a mix of all these things. But I think it's a little complicated. You know, it is a little bit of that. And that's, I think, why I liked Portillo making that tweet. I favorited the tweet, you know, whenever he made it because of that. I don't know, caller, if you want to push back on this.
One quick thing before the caller goes. So Intuition just said Bjergsen is an average zero interaction gamer, but gets millions of follows. Not when he started. I feel like he's pulled back from social media a fair amount, but like when he started, he was all over TSM's content. He was their branding. He was pushed very hard. Like he was relatively active on social media. He streamed a lot. If I remember correctly, like I think he doesn't, you know, do that stuff as much as he used to back in the day, because he kind of like hit a ceiling of like, all right, who doesn't know Bjergsen at this point, you know, kind of thing. And like, he probably had other priorities after a little bit, but no, he was not like that his whole career at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I get what you're saying about the take, and I completely agree with that. But I think at the same time, it makes more sense in my mind, if you're a pro player, to focus on winning first, because it makes getting the numbers easier. Because I can't think of a
popular, but again, I feel like, sorry to cut you off, I just feel like this is always this false dichotomy that people always suggest, like as if a pro player trying to do a good interview after a win and putting effort into it is going to make them less likely to win their next game. Or like, tweeting is going to make them less likely to win their next game or something. You know, I don't think it is this, well, you either are doing this or you're either doing that type situation that people try to make it out to be.
Yes, but I think at the same time, it can be very mentally taxing to have to interact with social media and the fans if you're not doing well, or even stream, because people are going to be more negative towards you. And at the same time, I can't think of any LCS like pros that are doing really well, number socially wise, that are on a bottom tier org. Like, so, it's really hard to do that.
Yes, but I don't think that, like, Porty's tweet is not saying anything about, well, if you're on a bottom tier org, you need to be doing this. Like, it is a pity that Bjergsen doesn't do a lot more. I mean, I think he started streaming a little bit more in the off season, but like, he's one of the most popular players. On the other hand, you can look at what Peter is doing. You know, he's been doing a lot of content. I think maybe he's doing a little less because they haven't been doing as well, and because he also had some situation with his house. But, you know, like we're not talking about bottom or top teams here. It's like there are players on top teams that don't right now that don't really put any effort into their image or building a brand or doing anything like that. And I think, so I don't think the idea of like, I don't know. I don't think it is, well, you either play and do well, or you're on a top team and you put the effort in, but if you're on a bottom team, you don't. Like, I think it's not as linear, or as discrete as you are making it out to be.
To that point too, I do agree with the caller that like just doing things can be mentally draining, seeing the response, the replies to you, especially if people are being dicks. And so like, I understand if you at some points in the season, or if you are having an unexpectedly difficult year, to step back and not make that kind of content. Like, or put yourself out there. I think that that makes sense to me. I'm not saying you have to be on 24/7 all the time.
Right.
So like for some of the Dignitas guys who probably came in and thought they'd have a better year, and then it sucked for like a Jensen or a Santorin, who both have like, you know, they're respectably well-known within the scene. Like, okay, you're not putting in, you're not doing quite as much content as you might have done if the team was actually popping off. But even to that point, some of the best content that I've enjoyed out of teams this year has been Dignitas's post-match thread. Like, for a team that is doing bad, they found a way to make some funny content. Like, the post-match threads have been very good. And, like, I don't know how much it's really helped them, but, like, that just shows that even on a losing team, you can find ways to potentially do it. I think Revenge with his, like, vlogs at least tried something to put himself out there. I think some other good examples, like, even if you don't want to do all the work, like, at Riot, we do want to put player personalities out there. And, like, I don't know if you saw it, Travis, and what your thoughts were, but the tenacity piece about, like, the 10 essentials in his bag.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that was a really good piece. And then when it went online, like, a lot of people really liked it. I mean, you might think some people would be like, oh, what a loser. He cares about his hair. But, like, that's his brand. Like, it's much easier to push that identity of, like, who Tenacity is, because he has a brand of being, like, you know, he works out, he has a lot of like Gucci and LV shit, you know, like I could find a comparable piece of content because I just watch so much content. Like it's very easy to be like, oh, this, he fits within this box. Like I can make content like that with him. And like with this person, I can do that. But some people, they just kind of feel like I don't really know anything about you. You know, like how do I draw it out of you? I don't always know. So yeah.
Yeah. I agree with that a lot. And so that's, I just think, man, and no disrespect, Manimal, I appreciate you bringing this up. To Mark's point, like there are a lot of different ways to build your brand. It doesn't always have to be, you need to go on Twitter and reply to every hater whenever you're losing. It can be, you agree to be in a Riot piece, because guess what? Like a lot of times players do not agree to do some outside of content. You agree to come on Hotline League. Go tweet, but you just schedule tweets and you never look at your replies. You try extra hard in an interview to be entertaining rather than just going out there and being like, yeah, I think we're pretty good right now. You know, like you put the effort in, and you can choose where you put the effort in. You can ask somebody to help you get an editor to put, you know, to tweet out videos that are big plays that you're making on your stream. You can do these different things. I think, is it Busio, I think, has TikTok? Or no, maybe it's Tenacity. One of them does a bunch of stuff on TikTok, you know? And, like, they've got an editor helping
them. Busio streams and does a lot of stuff himself, too.
Yeah. So, like, and again, will this make it work well for everyone? I don't think everyone's going to find success doing it, but I do think some pros will. I think a lot of them can transition into doing content if they decide they don't want to be a pro, if they've put in the effort and like learn this stuff. And I do think the league really needs it, because if none of these guys are going to put any effort into it, then like, why are we doing this? I don't know. Sorry, Manimal. I know we disagree with you, but I hopefully it was still felt like a good conversation.
Oh, it was great.
Yeah. Is there anything you want to shout out before we go on to the next caller?
Yeah, I would love to shout out Emily Rand. I really miss the podcast you did with her last year. It was great. I hope to see her on more content. It's been really sad to not see her in a lot of content this year. Shout out Alienware. I'm planning on getting a new PC soon, hopefully, because I've been playing League on a Mac and it's terrible. So hopefully soon I'll be able to buy an Alienware. Shout out Mark for pulling one of my Twitter takes for the LCS show a couple weeks ago. I'm not going to tell which one because I don't want to dox myself, and that's it.
Very good. And I'm sad that we haven't had Emily on. I've actually been trying to book her for a couple of weeks, but she has a scheduling conflict. A lot of people, we've been having a lot harder of time getting guests on the show, not because of people don't want to come on it, but because a lot of people have scheduling conflicts. Like Raz records Casting Couch now at this time, and like Emily's got a scheduling conflict. A lot of the pros are still doing scrims, and coaches and stuff are busy with that, so it's just been tougher, but hopefully as we head into playoffs, it'll be easier to get folks. So thank you, though, Manimal, for coming on the show, and we'll catch you next time. All right. Off to the next caller. We got three more callers for the show. Yeah, they do a show called Casting Couch, folks. I believe that's what they call it. Yeah. All right. Jayla Ray, thank you for the sub. Arrays, thank you as well. And Jason Krieg Alt, thank you for the subs. Oh, look, Ovely's in the chat right now. So they're not doing it right now. So Raz lied to me. Ovely, did you not record Casting Couch right now? You just finished. Okay, cool. Well, I hope it was a good show. All right, we got DataPig here. DataPig, where are you calling from?
Pleasant Grove, Utah.
Pleasant Grove, Utah. What do you want to talk about on the show?
TSM and CLG aren't going to make playoffs. Team Liquid and 100 Thieves will take their place, and they'll be dark horses for playoffs.
Wait, sorry. One more time?
Okay, sorry. TSM and CLG, they're not going to make the playoffs. And Team Liquid and 100 Thieves will take their place in playoffs.
Okay.
As well as being dark horses in the playoffs.
So the TSM-CLG rivalry dead. Now they're going down together.
Yeah, they're buddies now. Yeah, so if you look at the schedule, there's actually a lot of these four teams are going to be playing against each other this week. And so CLG is actually, like, if you go off record, CLG is, like, favored to lose at least two of them. They play Golden Guardians, which Golden Guardians has a better record. They play C9, and they're obviously not favorites there. Let's see. Sorry, one second. TSM plays FlyQuest, and they also play 100 Thieves. So if 100 Thieves can win, it's going to help them get in. So, yeah, and then if TL and 100 Thieves do make the playoffs, I mean, they're going to be, like, coming pretty hot. And 100 Thieves, they have Bjergsen and Doublelift. They know how to win playoffs. They did in 2020. TL, they're really strong early game, so I think that they'd be actually dark horses in the playoffs if they made it.
All right, and I like this take because it is kind of a double take. Like, you know, one of these things happening is like a good discussion, but you're betting on both of them happening at the same time. I feel like that's aren't there like horse racing bets that go like that? Anyway.
Parlays.
Mark, are CLG and TSM doomed?
No, I don't think they're doomed. I think CLG is doomed, to be honest. I like CLG, but that game that they dropped to Dig feels like it could potentially fuck them over here. Just because they have to play GG, which is a potential loss, Team Liquid, and C9. So, like, just with how they've looked in recent weeks, the 0-2, I mean, it's always the counter logic thing. Like, of course they could lose to Dig in EG and then beat fucking C9. I don't know. But just, like, realistically, there's a chance that they go 1-2 or 0-3. So for context, 100 Thieves, CLG, and TSM are all at 7-8, and Team Liquid's a game behind that at 6-9. And 100 Thieves and TSM play against each other. And then both of them also have an easy game at some point in their schedule. 100 Thieves plays Immortals on the last game of the day, and TSM plays Dignitas on the second day of the week. So basically, each of them are looking at hopefully one, like, quote-unquote free win as long as they do what they're supposed to do, and then they play each other heads up, which means it's very likely that one of those teams gets to 9-9 and is probably safe. And then there's kind of this three-way battle between the other teams who are probably going to be one game behind that. At 8-10. The question is, and this is probably the hottest thing that the caller said, was that Team Liquid are going to make it. Team Liquid played Dignitas, CLG, and EG. Now, if they win two of those, they do make it. So beating Dig is quite possible. Beating CLG is pretty possible. So, like, if they do that, then they also have to get a tiebreaker. The other thing that TL really struggles with is actually head-to-heads. They are 0-2 versus 100 Thieves and 0-2 versus TSM. So if they ever end up in a single head-to-head to get in, they actually are fucked because they have the 0-2 against them. I think they actually need, like, weird three-way ties and stuff for TL to get in. So, like, I don't know. It's crazy. It's messy. I don't think what the caller is saying here is actually super, super unlikely, though. But I would say that TSM is favored over Team Liquid quite a bit, which is how the schedule is right now.
Yeah, I really can buy 100 Thieves getting through. I'm trying to decide how I feel about Team Liquid. You know what? Fuck it. I think Team Liquid's going to get through. I agree with the caller. 100 Thieves, Team Liquid. They're going through.
You're on crack. Why do you think that?
I do think that Team Liquid has been showing more signs of life recently. And just, I guess it's more of a gut instinct than anything, but I just feel like they're going to clutch it up. Like, I think they immediately lose in playoffs, to be clear. But
Team Liquid has looked like they're on the verge of figuring it out for fucking 7 straight weeks.
I know, and week 8 is what they do, man.
They're the perennial scrimbuck teams. Why do you believe in them now to suddenly figure it out and, like, win a game that they're supposed to win?
So they'll beat Dig and CLG. I bet you they beat Dig and CLG. And then they just need a tiebreaker, right?
Yeah, they need to be EG. Because, I mean, they beat FlyQuest, so what's stopping them from maybe being EG, you know?
They need CLG to win a game if they want that, though, because the problem is with CLG is that they're one of the only teams that they can get a tiebreaker against, I'm pretty sure. And so if they just go heads up versus TSM or Hunter,
yeah, CLG will be Golden Guardians.
Okay, so CLG has to beat Golden Guardians, lose to Team Liquid, and then, yeah, lose to C9. Or I guess they can be either Golden Guardians or C9. One of those, they'll counter logic, huh?
I think they lose to, or they beat Golden Guardians, and then CLG fans get excited, win one game to give fans false hope, and then they go, they lose their next two.
I feel like it's 100 Thieves and TSM because one of them will beat the other one and basically make it in. And then the other one has the head-to-head tiebreaker versus TL. Already handled. And I think they're both, like, pretty good. I think TSM has done a very good job this season of just being, like, this kind of, like, brick wall. We play late-game scaling. Boogie does a good job getting us to late-game. Usually we're a coherent team. Turtle's been a good addition. Like, I feel good about TSM.
All right, we'll see. We'll see. Thank you, though, caller.
No faith for CLG, though? Wait. You just don't believe in CLG at all?
Wait, I started the split off as the... Remember, you gave me a bunch of shit for thinking, for both wanting the roster to stay together, but then not being convinced that they were going to be a top team.
So where did you land? Should they have changed it?
No, I think they still... I think I've continued to stand by the idea that, like, if you have something that seems like it works, it's better to just run it back for at least one more split than it is to, like, blow things up. But I still felt like
Travis,
they...
According to yourself.
What?
They're about to miss playoffs. Why would you run back a team that's going to miss playoffs?
Because there's a better chance... Because when you make a roster change or you blow stuff up, there's a good chance that you're... Like, it was worth seeing where their ceiling was, even if the chances were that their ceiling was low. I don't know why you still struggle with this. 8 weeks in, you're still struggling to understand it. I think you understand it.
Fuck with you.
You're just screwing with me. Yeah, exactly. You. The problem is, here's the thing. You get it, but not all of our callers, or not callers, sorry, not all of our viewers can understand, like, risk assessment. And so when you act like you don't get it, then they just, like, in their brains, they go, oh, yeah, that's right. This doesn't make any sense. When it does make sense, and you're not here helping to explain how it does. Anyway, I remain a CLG skeptic. I don't think they're going to make it through. That's why.
I can't wait for CLG and TSM to make it in. And everyone's just kind of wrong.
I'm just going to say that I did it. I'm just going to say that I was here to back DataPig.
If CLG make it in, it's because, yeah, DataPig, me and you, none of us believed in CLG. That's the only reason they make it in if they do.
Yeah. All right. Thanks so much for the call, DataPig. Anything you want to shout out?
Shout out Alienware. Shout out you guys. I really appreciate you having me on. I'll be honest, I was really nervous. Usually I'm at work listening to you guys, so I can't call in. So this is the first week I've been able to call in. So thanks a lot, guys.
You did great.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the call. All right. Off to the next caller. We've got, thank you to Jay LeRae, Jason Krieg Alt, and A It's Abe for the subs. Really appreciate it. All right. We are wrapping up the show here. Mark is back with King Manchi. King Manchi, where are you calling from?
I am calling from Indianapolis, Indiana.
Oh, another Indiana caller. What do you want to talk about on the show?
I'm here to talk about how C9 is about to finish up this regular season split with an 8-0 win streak, taking the longest win streak of the split, as well as I think Jimenez, as long as he performs this super week, will be MVP.
So we start off Wednesday with FlyQuest C9, and then on Thursday they play IMT, and on Friday they play CLG. Based on my CLG hating that I just did, I have to say that the only risk for them is FlyQuest. So we'll know by Wednesday at 3 Pacific if they're going to go 3-0 and have that big moment. You know what I think? I think I agree with you, caller. I hadn't really done the math yet to say that they hadn't really done the math yet, but yeah, that's how that would go.
Wait, you agree with the call that MNS is going to be MVP and first team All Pro?
Oh no, I agree with the Cloud9 win streak part.
Oh, well, yeah.
The other part didn't make any sense. I was paying attention to the relevant part of the conversation. The other part doesn't make any sense.
Okay, I was like, what? You fully agree with this caller? Well, caller, how can you square the MVP of the league not playing for half the league?
Okay, here's my reasoning. First off, for the win against FlyQuest, all they have to do is ban a Moo Moo and don't put Berserker on Jhin. Those are my only two requirements. And two, for MNS's sake, I think if you disregard that first game where for some reason they put him on Victor against Gory and his nerves, I think that his value as a player coming in to replace Diplex have not only added a new layer of versatility to their entire game plan, but also gave Blavin a whole new way to play the map. He's invading more now since he's come in, and they're also able to flex pick more stuff like the Jace or the Tryndamere. I don't know if Fudge plays that one very much, but stuff like that is just making them a lot more versatile.
Okay,
and he's measured up a lot better than late.
First, before I respond to that, someone made a good point. Travis, didn't you also say that C9 isn't making finals?
Yes, they're a regular season team.
Okay.
Wow. I wonder if there's a world where a team could finish first in the regular season, but then not make finals. That's probably never happened in LCS history, right, Mark?
Not that I'm aware of. Caller, how do you square away Gory having a very similar narrative storyline there? Because C9 was also still the second place team before MNS joined and then like helped level them up to the first place team, you could argue. And I don't doubt that, you know, he's incredible and all that stuff. But like, at least narratively, Gory joined a team that was 0-2. They went 0-4 then, but then since then have been incredible and also currently have the longest streak in the LCS. It feels like he was instrumental in turning that team around. Whereas like they were already winning with Diplex, even though he was not being all that great.
Okay, so I don't think C9 was the second best team. I think they were tied with EG, but EG kind of hard stomped them with that Tristana mid game. So I think they've actually moved from third, maybe even fourth. I think with Gore coming in, they would have been worst in Golden Guardians at the end of the season. So I think they've gone from fourth in terms of overall power to first, and Gory actually is my second pick for MVP, followed then with my third best option would be Fudge. So, yeah, I don't know, it's a tough call. I think Gory has had more iffy games. The only game MNS has kind of looked bad on was that Victor one, and you can chuck that one up to nerves and bad draft.
Yeah. I don't know. I it's really tough whenever you have half of a split's sample size. I mean, I guess in one sense, you also have less time to make yourself look good, but there's a lot of players that have had really good second halves of the year and not really good first halves. And, you know, in a world where you just get to erase their first half, I don't know. It's really tough. It's really tough because I also don't know I don't know what the cutoff should be then. What do you think, Mark? 75% of the games you need to play?
I mean, it's ultimately up to each individual voter, which you care about, because some people still vote off based off like skill. And, you know, I think M&S has displayed that at least in the game so far. So it's close, you know, like, I feel like you have to play at least in the majority of the games. 9 is like just on that cutoff point. I think one thing I was talking about in the dive to a little bit is like a lot of people just assume that if you played, like, let's say you have a really good 9 games, you just assume that your other 9 games would have been that exact same level. But if you think about every single player in the league, how many people maintain their form over 18 games? Like, none of them, right? Even Prince.
We were just talking about everybody has a bad game.
Yeah, right? Like, yes, Diplex had, or excuse me, M&S had the bad game where he first came in and got kind of slammed by Golden Guardians, and since then it's been great. But, like, who knows? Maybe that first month in LA, not having to play on the big stage, actually helped acclimate him quite a bit. And if he played those games, like, he would have struggled more. You know, I think there's this assumption that all 18 of his games would have been like the 9 that we've seen. That's not necessarily true. Like, a lot of players, especially aggressive ones like him, will have their kind of int games. And he hasn't really had that yet outside that one game. And we're also projecting that his next 3 will also be this good, which is fine. And that's not to say that you have to assume those 9 games that he's missing are bad, but like they're just not there. They're just non-existent. And I think sometimes the reason people are like, well, this guy was incredible the whole time, it's like, well, maybe people didn't have their research done on him yet because people have been game planning for Diplex for the year, and that's who they've been watching, and they weren't sure what M&S was going to do. Like, you see that sometimes with junglers and other things where people start banning them out or learning your tendencies and how you want to play, and they start scrimming against you more and they learn more about you. Like, there's a lot of ways in which a player's performance will ebb and flow over the course of a whole season. And then it's kind of unfair in my mind to hold that like a bad game that someone else had in week 2 when you just weren't even on the stage. Because it was like you didn't compete.
Yeah. I don't know.
So that's like where like lack of games matters to me, is because like I don't know what you would have done in that game. You might have continued stomping, or you might have inted your fucking brains out. I don't know.
I mean, I will let. We'll see that if M&S does insane stuff this weekend, then sure. I'm not saying he's completely out, but I have a hard time. I don't know. I have a hard time with it, Collar. Sorry. Well, is there anything you want to... Oh, go ahead, King.
Well, sorry. One more thing to chime in. Because people are talking about the core JJ thing real quick, about like the 11 games. Like I said, it's up to each person. I don't remember. Like, I was trying to look up the ballot, but I don't see it. It looks like it got taken down off the website, so I'm confused.
That website, everything disappears from it constantly, so...
Yeah, I have no idea. So I can't remember how I voted. I'm not quite sure. I know I put him on my ballot. I don't remember if he was first team or not. Vulcan was struggling with like the 9-9 one a little bit, and then Huhi was like second best 100 Thieves. Maybe
I don't think I voted for Core last year. I forget. I know there was one split where I didn't vote for him, or he wasn't on my thing, and it might have been then.
Yeah, it was like, if I remember correctly, C9 was really good, but Winston was clearly a liability at that point. Huhi was up and down. Vulcan was up and down, and Core was out for a bunch of games, and once he came in, he was the best. So like, I do think it's a fair comparison to M&S. And if I could pull up the ballot, the reason I really wanted to is to show you how many of those were probably pro player voted. And so like, my personal feelings on if I should vote M&S or not is not going to be reflected by a lot of people. A lot of people, especially pros and coaches, like to vote for just who they feel like is the best player in that position at that time. So it's very likely that M&S does get a lot of votes. It's very possible he ends up on an all-pro team. And I think the only reason he doesn't get a first team would just be that he didn't play enough games. But like, I think enough people don't have that metric that you'll still probably see him on here. And it's not like anyone's going to complain about that fact.
Good way. Thank you so much, King Manchi, for the call. Anything you want to shout out?
2 things. 1, Travis's YouTube channel. I pretty much have exclusively been watching Highland League through that for like the past 5 years. And 2, Berserker. For sticking around another year. I think he has a much better case for being import all-time best over Prince and Vikla.
Very good. Thank you so much for the call.
Okay, hot take. Thank you.
His shout-out was another hot take.
I always love it when people just do that at the end. They're like, also this one random thing by. Thank you. Oh, Wafflefoot is here. Wafflefoot, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from rainy, miserable, dreary San Diego.
San Diego. What do you want to talk about on the show?
Yeah, today I just wanted to talk about a very simple prospect, and that is, regardless of whether Team Liquid makes it into playoffs this week or not, I do not think that they should make any changes going into the summer split, and with the exception being if there are just like unresolvable differences of, you know, gameplay, like there was, you know, rumored last year between like Bjerg and Core, as an example. But I think that they should stick with this roster. I think that with more time over the break, or hopefully with a run during playoffs, that they will continue to gel and continue to figure each other out. Pioshik will get used, continue to get more used to living here in the United States. And Summit will be able to stick with a team for more than a split and hopefully get out of some of the bad habits that he's had. Which, to be fair, over the past couple of weeks, I think he's been doing a lot better than he has in the first part of the split. But yeah, that's the take.
So do you think they're going to make playoffs, or they're going to fumble the bag?
As someone who's followed Team Liquid since 2013, I'm prepared for the worst at all times. But I'm confident. I believe that the team can absolutely do it. Yes.
Why do you, it's not, you just have a lot of faith in these five players, I guess?
It's less that I have faith in the five players individually, as much as I do, as I have faith and am excited for the highs that the team has shown. I think that whenever they've been in a winning, when they've actually managed to win and close out these games that they've had these great leads in, especially watching, like, for example, the FlyQuest game this past week, I think those highs are not, it's not worth reshuffling the team and throwing that potential away, knowing what the team can achieve with this roster as it stands. And I think that there is an ability for them to get consistency and consistently reach those high highs that I've seen them do when they upset FlyQuest, EG, you know, these other higher ranked teams throughout this year.
Travis, would you want TL to stay together heading into summer?
No, if they don't make playoffs, no. I think they need to make one change. But
Travis, you should keep things together to find out exactly how good they can be, right? You did it with CLG.
Yeah, CLG was on an upward swing. Like, CLG, very clearly, you could draw a line on a graph, and then if you connected the dots, which I'm asking you to do right now, Mark, connect the dots, you would see it going up and to the right. If Team Liquid doesn't make playoffs, it is not up and to the right.
I thought CLG flatlined. I thought they looked pretty good. They tried to break into the top half of the league and ultimately failed.
You don't remember, like, from spring to summer finals, they are up and to the right the whole time.
No, they were up and to the right from bringing Dokla in at the start of week one through most of the regular season, and then flatlined and didn't punch above their weight in playoffs.
People were pretty hype about them going into playoffs. People felt like they didn't. Yeah, this is not. They did well for CLG. This is not well for Team Liquid. You are just being. You are just being a devil's advocate, Dirk, right now. You agree with me that they need to make changes.
To Wafflefoot's point about the positives they've shown this year, they're trending up. They just beat FlyQuest, the best team in the league. They just beat them.
You think they're making playoffs? You don't think they're making playoffs, Mark?
No, I don't think they're going to make playoffs. But they got two rookies. All right, it's their first split. You don't think these guys are going to get better, Travis?
So you don't think they should make changes, Mark?
Probably not.
Really?
If I was going to make any changes, and I'm not internal there, but I don't know what happened with like all the coaching and stuff. Who knows? It was Marin's first split as a coach. Was he a good coach? I don't fucking know. Who can say? people say Harry and Pioshek are steaming dog shit. I mean, Pioshek has been a little disappointing, I think. Summer's been a little bit disappointing. Harry's been a little disappointing. Yon's a little bit disappointing. If they all be slightly less disappointing next split, they're a good team. You know, Yon in lane phase has been good. Harry in lane phase has been good. Pioshek's been up or down in
I actually
games.
Don't.
Just
I think
that out.
I think if you're going to make a change, a little bit. I think if you're going to make a change, it's Summit or Pioshek. And I'm not saying you like send them back to Korea or something like that. I think you see what you can do in terms of like, okay, one of them goes to like academy, and you, I don't know. It's one of those weird things where you're just you try some something different in the beginning of summer to see what looks good.
NA Lol Pride says Yon hasn't been good anywhere, anytime. Well, you should change your name if you think that, because both pro players said that Yon was decent, and then there were a lot of games where he and Core JJ slammed early game. Yeah, team fighting wasn't great, but anywhere, all the time, it's objectively wrong. I would agree with that change. I would say, like, if what you want is veteran presence for the young guys, you need to get more consistent veterans. Because, like, Core has been fine, not great, but, like, not the one inting the games. But if you're going to have rookies who are, like, volatile and get hit with abilities or caught out of position, like, you also can't have two of the veterans doing that as well. So, yeah, I definitely agree. Pioshek has been extremely disappointing on a consistency level, and same with Summit. But that was kind of like what you knew you were signing up for.
Okay, so then do you agree with my change suggestion, or do you think they really shouldn't make changes if they don't make playoffs?
Honestly, if they don't make playoffs...
Which you don't think they will, based off our earlier call.
Yeah, if they don't make playoffs, I wouldn't mind seeing maybe one change. Like, we talk about, like, the, oh, they all speak Korean thing, but, like, well, three out of those four speak English extremely easy. Like, they all speak English, you know, Core, Yon, and Harry. So it's not like adding another English speaker is going to erratic. Like, okay, now we all speak English, and, like, there's the one Korean guy who's maybe a little confused if Whippo takes jungle or top or, like, whatever you end up doing. So... Yeah, I think it's, but again, like, I would also, I don't know who's evaluating the coaching staff. I don't know who does that kind of shit, but have they been good? I don't know. The only team to make a coaching change thus far is 100 Thieves, but I doubt that that's the last one this whole split.
I think right, Dodo, I think Dodo's probably the one evaluating coaching staff, because when I talked to Steve earlier this split, he was at the LCS, and he was like, this is the first time I've been really, like, detached from the team. I was like, yeah, it's sometimes important to step away. And he's like, no, I just don't speak Korean.
He's like, I have no idea how to speak to this team.
He's like, I don't know what's going on. Yeah, I think that's probably, yeah. All right. Thank you, Wafflefoot. I know we somewhat disagree with you, but I think if they make playoffs, then you kind of evaluate how playoffs go. So that's kind of my threshold, yeah, exactly. Is playoffs or no playoffs.
And I think it's all fair arguments. So,
yeah.
But yeah.
Thanks so much for the call, and we'll catch you next time. Oh, actually, do you have anything you want to shout out?
I mean, of course. Always got to shout out Alienware. Shout out the Travis Gafford YouTube channel. And shout out to Twitch Prime. Did you know, you viewer, yes, you could give Travis a free sub right this second if you happen to have Twitch Prime.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Wafflefoot. We'll catch you next time.
Have a good one, guys.
Yeah. See ya. All right. That is the show. Mark Zimmerman, anything you want to shout out here at the end?
Shout out my cat. He's looking, being cutie patootie over there. Look at that. Look at that little cutie pie.
Hi, baby boy. Hi. I get dinner soon. Yeah.
Anything else, Mark?
Yeah. Nope.
Great. Anyway, shout out to UBC. I had a really good time at the Game Expo. Shout out to Mox Boarding House. I had a great time there. I will be back this week in California. So I apologize to everybody for the audio issues we had on the episode today. We just an artifact of being on the road, unfortunately, not being able to fix them in time. We did try, just so you all know. But yeah, thanks everybody for showing up. This has been Hotline League. We'll see you next week for the playoffs episode.